How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions, featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. And welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Tom Allen. Hello. Hello. Is it autumn at the moment, Susie?
Autumn days when the grass is jeweled and the wind inside the chestnut trees. Jet plays greeting in the air to be revealed. I think we've sang this before on the podcast.
We have. It's a real assembly banger.
It's an absolute assembly bang. I think we are in autumn.
Are we? Because the leaves are still quite green. And there's still a hosepipe ban where I live, as far as I know.
There can't be still a hosepipe ban with all this rain we've had.
They don't... Well, they haven't told us it's finished, so I don't know.
You want to go on to the Chis Assembly, whatever it's called.
The Chemblay. Yeah, I should do. But no, it's Thames Water, isn't it? I thought the hosepipe ban's still in action, but I don't know.
Tom, I couldn't possibly say, as you know, I've left London.
Well, of course, you left all of this behind. And also, it doesn't really matter, because I turned off my hose, so to speak, and then it rained. It's basically rained. So,
do you think that's linked?
I just think that yes, I control the weather through my garden tap.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's good news. Found that out.
That's something, isn't it? It's good to find something new.
Pop on the Liz.
What's your favourite season? Other than Seasons of Love?
5 million, 25 million, no, 600 minutes.
It's 525,600 minutes. I'm so desperate for that to come up in a quiz. How many minutes are there in a year?
Oh, that's a good... Yeah.
It's my dream. It's my dream to be on a quiz show.
Isn't it interesting it's not a million minutes in a year? It's not very long, is it?
What do you mean, isn't it interesting it's not a million minutes in a year? What do you
think? I don't know, you sort of think it'd be like 8 million minutes in a year, but it's not, is it?
No, it's 525,600
minutes. But my favourite season, probably the spring, but I do like the autumn when I get into it.
Sure.
I like the spring.
The thing is, you look nice in a pea coat. You must remember that.
Well, that is kind of you to say. I do like a pea coat. I like a double-breasted.
Who doesn't?
Who does? I like a double-breasted number, and I like... There was something I saw online. It's like, what's your favourite thing about autumn? Is it crisp autumn walks? Is it Sunday roasts? Is it... I mean, Sunday roasts aren't exclusively autumn.
You're such a basic bitch on Instagram. Is it pumpkin spice lattes?
Is it pumpkin... It was a bit like that. Is it Halloween? I like Halloween. When it gets to Halloween, I like it. I like Halloween through Christmas, as the Americans say. Halloween.
Through
Christmas.
I like it whenever I can put on a big coat. That's when I'm my happiest.
Is that right, Sue?
I want to be cold. I love being cold. I want to be warm in my coldness. I mean, it's probably a bad thing to say this year with all of the fuel crisis. I just want to get out my big coat. I just like how I look in a big coat.
I think that's okay. I don't think that's...
Tom, do you know what a Bavarian jacket is?
No, I don't. I don't think.
Well, I've decided I want one.
Well, should I look it up? What is it? Describe it to us.
Okay, right. I'm going to have to look it up again because I've only seen it once. But let me do it. Oh, this is going to take me weeks, isn't it, to spell Bavarian. Bavarian. Oh, that's nowhere near, but hopefully Google will know. Do you mean Bavarian? Yes, I do. Right, okay, Tom, I'll explain it to you.
Like a sausage.
So what I want to be is I want to be inside that skin that goes on a sausage.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Does that sound nice to you?
And a lovely Bavarian sausage. Have you ever seen that clip of Michael Portillo eating a sausage? Something for people to look up.
Is that on the type of website that you could look at a work computer? Or do you think maybe
it
not?
It isn't. Well, I think it would be found on your general sort of
on your gen
websites.
Search.
But it's not. I think if people were walking past, they might be a little taken aback.
Right.
There's nothing untoward in the picture I'm thinking of.
Sure.
Portillo, sure. Sausage.
So a Bavarian jacket, from what I can tell, is a very small, you know, like those shirts that Nish wears that sort of go around like this?
A Nehru collar.
Is that what they're called? So it's a jacket with a bit of a collar like that, with some buttons going down, sort of round in the neck. Why are you showing me a picture of Michael Portillo deep-throating a Bavarian sausage?
Just because I didn't want you to think that wasn't... That's what I was trying to describe to the listeners.
Fine, fine. Listen, I want a Bavarian jacket. I don't know what else to say about this.
Okay, Bavarian jackets. I'm sorry. Yes.
No.
Please continue, please continue.
Tom, I've told you everything. A collar like Nish, but it's a jacket.
So a Nehru collar.
Yes. Quite thick wool, quite a heavy wool. And then... but then the women's are sort of quite round neck. I don't know which one I want. I saw one in a second-hand shop yesterday. I'm thinking about getting one. That's sort of the beginning and the end of it.
Well, that's lovely. Is that the sort of... I want to check that I've got this right because I don't want...
And it's got sort of quite often got sort of different colour trimming on the collar and in the pockets.
Is that sort of collar?
Yes, that sort of thing. But not quite as elaborate as that one that you've looked at.
Oh,
it's a bit more you than me.
Oh, and so... It's that sort of colour, and it's in a sort of khaki green.
Could be. Or could be in quite a strong navy.
I like a navy.
As ever, come to us for fashion tips.
Do. And so you saw it in a...
There's a second-hand /vintage shop on the Charing Cross Road. Because I went for a wax yesterday, didn't I?
Oh, Susie, what, on your Jack and Danny?
Exactly there. And the surrounding areas. And my legs.
And the surrounding.
And the pins. Everything's...
Oh, they did it all.
Tom, it was a closing down set. Everything must go.
Go.
actually, not everything's gone. Just in case the listeners are interested. Tom, have you ever been for a wax?
Actually, I have.
Have you?
Yes.
Have you had a back-racket sack?
No, couldn't do that. Would be too embarrassed, I think.
Well, of course. Yeah, you've got to get out your bits and pieces.
I'm a very private person. I'm very private. But the thing is, I feel very... as a teenager, when I started to grow a moustache, my mum was like, don't shave it because you'll end up having to shave every day. I'll send you to my waxer.
What? So that seems bonkers as an idea.
Absolutely. That is absolutely the sort of bonkers thing my parents would do. So then they sent me to
that
the waxing...
That really surprises me.
There was a woman around the corner who had a waxing set.
Just a set? She wasn't like... Was she qualified or she just bought one online?
Look, whoever asked a waxer to show their certificates.
But, I did yesterday. That's the first thing I do. I said, can I see your certificates, please?
she... so we had to get... I had to go around and have that... My top lip done when I was about 11 or 12.
Oh, that must have really hurt.
Yeah.
Well, there
so that
you
was
are.
My. But why they didn't just let me shave? It was only like a little bit of
bum fluff, hair,
but, as indeed people would call it. I was not going to call it that. But yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, it's quite grim, actually, isn't it? I've never really thought about that. That's horrid.
What?
Calling it bum fluff.
Well, yeah, but I mean. People say things. People say terrible things all the time.
People say terrible things all the time.
But tell us about this little trip.
My little trip to the waxers. Well, I went to a place in Charing Cross.
Oh.
Because what I like to do, Tom, is I grow out my leg hair and then I get it all off.
For a moment, they thought you said grout your leg hair. Like,
I grout my leg
kitchen
hair.
Kitchen tiles.
Yeah, so my legs are tiled now.
That's so shiny.
They look lovely, honestly.
They look incredible.
And...
You grow out your leg hair, yeah.
Yeah, and then you go, and then I get it all waxed off.
Mm.
And now my legs feel, I feel like a seal, which is...
Oh, is that nice?
Yeah, it's so nice. So, and then I get them to do my bikini line as well. But here's the thing, Tom, what do you think about this? You've got to take everything off these days.
Really?
So I had no drawers on.
Oh my goodness.
Tom, it's very exposing.
That does sound exposing. Did they have the window open?
No, Tom. It's in a basement, of course.
Oh, that sounds salubrious. But I was worried about the draft.
From what?
Well, if you've got nothing on. Might be a bit chilly around your bits.
Well, no, Tom. I was burning with shame, so I was nice and warm.
It's warming. It's such a warm feeling.
And on the ceiling in some waxing venues, as I believe they're called, they have a TV.
Oh, that's nice.
So you can watch something. So, you know, I've sometimes watched an episode of Family Guy while someone's rummaging around in my Jack and Danny.
Yeah.
And they had opted not to put the television on. I would say that my waxer wasn't super chatty. I don't think her heart was in it. And
it's probably a good thing.
Anyway, she'd opted to not turn the television on, which meant the television then acted as sort of a mirror. So I could just see my bush. As she sort of moved my legs around.
Oh, wow, there's quite a lot of manoeuvring.
Oh, Tom, there's so much manoeuvring. She has... I mean, I would say it was as invasive as a smear test, really.
Really?
It's... I mean, she's seen every part of me.
You think they combine the two, really?
What do you think?
While you're in the stirrups, you know?
You know. And then they get you to turn over. To do the back bit, yeah.
Oh, that's nice,
that
isn't
is
it?
Very...
You know my feelings on a rotisserie chicken.
Well, of course. And so I was covered in baby oil, so it was lovely, really.
Oh, that's nice. A few herbs.
And lemon up my ass. So it was lovely.
I bet that poor woman was so confused.
Yeah, she really must have been. No wonder she wasn't chatty. But you know what? She did all of that business and saw every inch of me. And then she had to do my nails after. And I thought... I was in with her for a wax and my nails, and I thought, I'm not sure.
Mm. Then you've got to stare straight into her eyes, basically, haven't you, to get your nails done.
And she still wasn't chatty, and I thought, oh, is it me?
Mm. I suppose it's a good thing that she hadn't had her nails done before.
Well, listen, she had very nice nails, but Tom, there was nothing, it's just wax. There's nothing dirty about it.
Oh, I'm not saying that. But I'm just thinking
clean
if she was
a whistle.
Oh, I don't doubt it. But if she was prodding around, it might have been quite sharp. Might have been quite sore.
Well, yeah, and that's how you have a smear test.
That's how like I say, why don't they just do it at the same time?
So that's what I've been up to.
Oh, that's good.
Someone said on a review a little while ago, Suze doesn't talk about her life much anymore. So that's for you. Would you ever have any sort of wax? You haven't got a hairy back, have you?
No, not really, no.
No.
I don't mind. I don't mind a bit of hair. I'm not ashamed. I'm not very hairy, but I don't.
Well, yeah, I think. But I mean, I know that there are lots of women that don't. That don't get rid of hair, which is obviously. I just prefer how I look with my waxed legs. But
I did once use some hair removal cream on my buttocks.
Oh, how nice!
Forgotten that day.
Stinks, doesn't it? It smells so bad, hair removal cream.
Yeah, it really does. And what does it? It reminds me of something else, but I can't remember what it is. But
sort of acid.
Acid, it's acid, isn't it? You have to be very careful not to leave it on for too long.
Yeah, because then it takes up the first layer of skin.
Oh, is that right?
I don't know.
How nice. Yes, I thought that was an important thing at one point, but I've since abandoned that path. I think that was around about the time people were going for backsack and crack waxes.
And you thought, you know what, I'll just do a bit of Nair indoors.
I'll just get a bit of Imac out and see how that goes. But then I was like, no, this is too much fuss. Even for me.
He shaves his head, he trims his beard, expect nothing more.
I thought there was a limerick then.
It's actually a haiku.
It was more of a haiku. For sure. That must be an interesting job to do. It must be quite satisfying. A bit like I always think, you know, bricklayers. Very satisfying when you get to go, well, I did that today.
I don't know how satisfied she was when she looked at my pink skin that had just been ripped apart. Because what they do, they put the wax on and it's unbelievably warm. It's hot, I'd say.
Burning
it's
hot. Heart.
And then the wax goes hard. So they don't do it with strips anymore.
Oh, right.
So they put the wax on. The wax then goes very hard and they just tug the wax off.
Oh, I thought they might come out with a little hammer and crack it and then it would just fall off. That would be nice.
But I don't know if that would drag out the hair.
No, that would just be a sort of like a sort of Christmas nougat.
Yeah, that sort of thing. That feels like the kind of thing that might happen in some sort of Swedish bath.
Yeah, some sort of German Christmas fairy tale.
Have you been to one of those baths where they like scrub you down? That's very nice.
No. Oh, have I? No, I don't think I... Oh, no, I don't think I have. I've always fancied that, like a sort of sea salt scrub.
Yeah, scrub you down. And then sometimes they wrap you up in something.
Don't they do that in the Scandinavian countries? There's a lot of saunas and then running out into the cold and then beating people with some sort of...
Oh, yeah, with like leaves or something.
Leaves or something.
With a big old bit of basil.
Yeah, a little bit of basil or something. Sage. Burning some sage. Get the bad spirits out.
Yeah, that's what you're meant to do. My gardener told me to put some rosemary in the oven.
Who said that?
My gardener.
Oh, to get rid of bad evil spirits?
It's not. I don't have a gardener. The people whose house we're renting have a very nice garden, so we've got a gardener at the moment. And what? They said, she said, there's rosemary here.
Oh.
You can eat that. That thing over there, don't eat that. That can kill. I was like, don't plant it then. But it's not my garden. And she said, it's very nice after you've done some cooking to just put a couple of sprigs of rosemary in to like, sort of give the house a nice smell.
Oh.
You said it's also very good for the energy.
Well, the energy, what, good, like good vibes?
Well, I don't think she's talking about the energy crisis.
I was going to say that sounds like a bad use of energy just to put the oven on to...
No, it's not when the oven's on. So when the oven has been on
then
and it's still
rosemary.
Hot, just pop some rosemary in the bottom because it like releases a lovely smell.
Oh, what a great idea.
Yeah, right? And you get rid of the bad energy. I don't think there's any bad energy here, but it's good to be, you know, it's
well,
good to
that's,
be
you are in Sussex now.
That's the thing. I think there's less bad energy here.
It's very like that down there, isn't it? Mm. Very like that. I imagine quite a lot of witchcraft.
Oh, I've joined a couple of covens.
Covens since you've been there?
Oh,
good.
Oh, yeah.
Well done.
I watched the film Practical Magic the other day. Have you ever seen it, Tom?
I feel like I might have done, but tell me what it's about.
Oh, it's such a great movie. Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman are sisters.
Yeah.
And they're witches.
Oh, classic.
And they grow up with their auntie, Stockard Channing.
Oh, I'd like to grow up with Stockard Channing.
Oh, you know, you'd love it, Tom. It's actually, it's really high camp.
I got that sense.
Okay, fine. I would say that you would love Practical Magic, in fact.
Well, yeah, it does sound like the sort of thing I would like. Is it? Because people are getting very excited about Hocus Pocus, aren't they?
Oh, but so am I.
I did really like it before. Mm. Huge pressure. I feel like people have been talking about it for about 3 years. And I am looking forward to it.
Huge pressure on Bette, Sarah and Kathy.
Yes, that is a lot of pressure on them.
Mm.
I worry. But
I imagine they can take it.
I think they probably can. I very much enjoyed a sort of Halloween movie marathon last year of we watched... Hocus Pocus and then Death Becomes Her.
Yeah, I would say that is the gayest horror movie marathon I've ever heard.
And then yeah, that
most
was
people would be
things.
Like Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh yeah,
the Amityville Horror. None of that for Tom. None of that for Thomas and Alfred.
No, thank you.
Far too frightening.
He likes a camp Halloween.
No way.
Film. Yeah, it's true, guys. It's true. And so he
I can't imagine that. With your boyfriend who loves with the midwife.
Yes, he's finally a big fan of Kill the Midwife. Yes.
Finally someone to share my passion.
Well, indeed, you've got lots to talk about with him. I was also we're also talking about going to see Muppet Christmas Carol in some sort of capacity at the cinema.
Can we go to the sing-along one and can me and Alice come? Alice, I don't know what Alice. I was going to just call her
Owls.
Owls. The two Owls.
Yes, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't
I went
it
to
just?
It a few years ago.
It's really good.
I think I might have talked about this on the podcast before, but went to that with some friends a few years ago, loved it. And then the following year, we wanted something similar, went to see Frozen sing along. The difference being when you go and see the Muppet Christmas Carol, it's all people of the same age. When you go and see Frozen sing along, it's all people who are 5 years old.
Five.
Yeah, and wearing princess dresses. So we did feel a little bit out of place. And you can't get as drunk.
Yeah, it does feel bad form to vomit into your popcorn whilst there's a four-year-old having a magical experience.
Yes, twirling. So that wasn't as fun, but nice in its way.
Have you ever been in town near Drury Lane when the matinee of Frozen finishes?
I've managed to avoid that.
Because the door's open and it is like a tsunami of Elsas.
Oh
just
my goodness.
So many kids. It's so adorable. It's so sweet. My cousin Sophie took her girls and she was like, and Sophie's seen like loads of musicals in town and like loves that sort of thing and was like, it's the best thing I've ever seen. I can't
People
get over
say
how good
it's
it
good.
Was. Yeah, there's a bit where she stamps her foot and the the auditorium all of a sudden is like full of ice. It like looks like there's ice everywhere when the ice comes.
Oh.
Very clever.
Well, that's clever.
I'd like to go.
Well, yeah. Maybe we should. I mean, I really enjoyed Mary Poppins as another Disney on stage, which I believe is closing soon.
Yes, so. I saw a postage saying that she's flying away.
Oh, I'd like to go and see it again, actually, if I get a chance.
It's good, isn't it?
Mum and Auntie Christine went to see Wicked last week, which I've never seen Wicked.
No, neither have I, actually, which is quite surprising. That feels like the kind of thing we should be doing, or we might have done.
Yes, I know. Isn't it surprising? But when I go to the theatre, I really love it. Well, Alf... Because I had sort of a kind of what I considered like quite a happy, normal weekend. We went cinema on Friday.
Oh, did you? Went cinema? What'd you say?
We went cinema in Orpington because Alf's got the all-you-can-eat card. What's it called? You know, where you can go as many times as you like to the cinema.
Oh, right. Is it all the movies you can eat?
Yeah. With your eyes? Not, it's not a popcorn card. Fun. Sorry, yeah.
I bet you get a discount, though.
I think you do, actually. Yeah, I think you do.
They'd throw that in, wouldn't they? They'd be mad not to.
And his mum's got one as well, Linda. Hello, Linda. Likes to listen to this.
Oh,
and
Linda.
We went to see How They Run. You know, the new sort of...
That's about...
murder mystery.
Agatha Christie?
Sort of Agatha Christie. So camp. The whole thing is so camp. Very fun. I enjoyed it.
Well, I've told you that I want to be in The Mousetrap.
Well, it's sort of that's the starting point of it is The Mousetrap.
Because I've never seen The Mousetrap. However, I've walked past a poster and there's a girl that wears a suit and tie. And on the strength of that, I think that I could probably play the role.
Oh, do it.
Because
if you've
got the suit, you're halfway there. Is that
absolutely,
right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Who's that's who you turn up.
Who's casting The Mousetrap, do you think?
Somebody. Someone. Somebody is. Somebody's had a job for a while on it. Yeah.
Hello. Yes. I've got some suits and ties.
Can you wear a suit? Okay, great. I mean, I imagine
you start tomorrow. Cool time six.
I heard that when you walk past, you know, there's this photographs out the front. Yes. I heard that it was part of the sort of deeds of the contract that they had to have the same poses used in the front in the front of the theatre. Oh. So they're the same poses that would have been there in 1953, actually.
Wow, that's hilarious.
Isn't it?
I'd like to be in one of those. There must be something lovely about being in one of those long-running shows in town.
I imagine it's got a nice feeling about it.
There's a real sense of, I don't know, almost like tradition with it. Like, oh my God, someone has walked on stage and said these lines.
Mm.
With all these different lives coming through this show. Mm. I don't know, there's something about it. But you know, I'm so romantic about theatre. Absolutely love the stuff.
Oh, yeah. And I like those old theatres they use.
Oh, me too.
And that sort of like amber glow of the lighting. I like things a little bit dim, a little bit quiet. More and more, I like things just nice.
And quiet.
And quiet. Soothing.
You're becoming so old so quick.
I am becoming so old.
I'm 40 next year and I feel like you're ready to go 75.
As I've said before, I've always felt like I'm 46, but as I'm now knocking on 46, well,
you're
I'm
actually
39,
72.
I'm sort of, yeah, 70, exactly. Yeah. I do feel that. I just got older. I just like quiet times with the gun.
I don't think that's necessarily something that's linked with being old. I wonder whether so much of being young, and I know it's something we've talked about ad nauseum on this podcast, but I think because I'm feeling a lot more like that. Like I don't need all the things that I thought that I needed.
Ah.
Sarah Jessica Parker said a great thing on a podcast the other day.
Yes.
Where she said, she was talking about her career and she said, I've got everything I need and lots of what I want and that has to be enough. And I thought, oh, that's a great way of looking at things because you can get into, and I'm sure it's people in other professions as well, into this like relentless cycle where you're like, well, I need this thing now and then I need this thing and then I need this thing. I need to do this. I need to do that. I should write a book. I should do this. Da, 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 da. I should host this thing. Da, da. You know, and it feels like, oh God, I need to do all the things. I need to have a radio show. And actually, there's plenty.
Yeah.
There's plenty
about. Absolutely. I mean, there's a great nobility in that. Yeah.
And I wonder whether... that thing of you and I, because I know that we've spoken about this before when we're not recording, because we do sometimes do that.
Sometimes.
But about the fact that we both quite like things a little bit quieter, maybe a little slower, maybe just a fire with maybe a very nice glass of wine.
Mm.
Or, you know, maybe a box of wine, if we're honest.
Mm, maybe a crate of cider.
You know, maybe just 6 or 17
three bottles of vodka.
Bladders of gin. And... But I wonder whether It's because, and I will get to my point eventually, you know, so much of our sort of 20s and indeed the early part of my 30s, but less so now, was spent like trying to keep up. Like, I'm fun, I'm having a great time, everything's great. Blah, blah. And I wonder whether it's because of, I don't know, just getting a bit older, or because of being a bit more settled in ourselves or being in happy relationships, whether we're not on those treadmills now and we can actually just be like, oh, I can be still because I don't have those like mad voices in my head being like, are you busy enough? Do your thing. What are you doing your thing? Why aren't you busy? Why aren't you busy?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
So I don't know if it's age. I don't know if it's just like being settled in yourself.
Well, I think you're right. I think, you know, and I think, yeah, sort of realizing that the important things are, like you say, the people around you and the love you have. But the sort of, those things are the important things. Yes, absolutely. I think, likewise, I spent a lot of my 20s and indeed 30s being like, well, where's the next thing? Oh, I should stay up late in case something fun happens, in case something exciting.
Nothing like, fun ever happens, Nothing fun happens. Nothing fun happens.
Like, everybody just settle down. That's enough. Go to
bed. And chill out, babes.
There is a sense of, I feel like, but also as I've got older, I've realised that for a long time, I think I buried those feelings of like, I quite like just sitting down. I'm basically sort of like a little Miss Marple figure in the corner. I like those. I like that kind of energy. And I think I, for a long time, was like hiding that. It's like, no, you're not supposed to be like that. No, that's really sad. Don't be like that. You're like, you should be
fun. Don't be sad.
Don't be such a sad gaze. Go out, be this, be that. And actually suddenly going, no, this is who I am. I'm that. And owning it. And people go, you sort of assume people are like, you're ridiculous. We'll never see you again. People, if you kind of go, no, that's who I am. People are like, oh okay. I respect that.
I think you're right.
I realize I've been aware of how many like modern phrases I've used there as well, like saying 100% instead of yes. Do you remember when we used to say yes
and now people say 100%?
100%. Or absolutely, we used to say. But now we say
100%. You used to say absolutely.
No, yeah, I do.
You're saying that you don't say, you say these things, but I'm you mean the common vernacular.
I mean the common vernacular.
The commoners and their vernacular. Should we have a couple of emails before we leave?
Oh, the emails, yes.
Dear Suze and Tom, firstly, I must say how much I love the pod. As a relatively newbie, I binge listened to your entire back catalogue at the tail end of lockdown and played it like some fantabulous, if slightly rambly, queer soap opera. Secondly, the reason for my communication. I recently rewatched the Peerless movie Pride and was struck that in one of the very first scenes, the character Joe, played by George MacKay, utters the immortal phrase, I'm from Bromley, as a mean to try and get out of holding a banner at the Pride parade. And it got me wondering, has Tom ever used the same excuse for getting out of something that he didn't want to do?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh, sorry, is there more? Sorry.
There's a little more. Should you read this out, could you please give a hearty hello, old bean, what's for brekkie? Shout out to my brilliant sister, Tammy, who got me into your wonderful pod.
Oh, Tammy.
Lots of love. Bye. Bye, 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 bye. And that's from Peg, whose real name isn't Peg. I think that must be a nickname.
Oh, lovely names.
P.S. On a recent one-off trip to Bromley, I bought Tom's excellent book, No Shame in Waterstones, in the glades.
Down glades.
This being the most Bromley thing I could think of to do.
That is.
Where indeed. I do believe Tom had done a signing of the book some weeks before and was informed by the bookseller what a very, very, very nice man Tom is.
Oh, that's so kind. I was
PBS.
Very... Yes. Oh, God.
Sorry. Sorry, this is so Tom-centric, Suze. As a fellow West Sussex resident, Shoreham, actually, may I take this opportunity to welcome you to the county, and I hope you and your family have a lovely old time here. And as I said, that's from Peg. Who's
Peg
not
Peg and Tammy Peg. Girl.
Peg and Tammy Girl.
I wonder if her full name is Etam.
I would have thought so. Or Tammy... Tammy Wynette?
Wynette, maybe. Yes, probably maybe. Tammy Wynette.
Probably it's probably Tammy Wynette that we're talking
probably
about.
Probably Tammy Wynette.
I imagine she's a huge fan of the show.
She loves it, yeah.
Tom, have you ever used I'm from Bromley to get out of something?
I haven't actually, as much as you might imagine from that film. Of course, I did find it quite easy to associate with that character in the film.
Of course.
Because he basically is me. But... I didn't, but I do again, I suppose, building on what we've been saying, I have found myself embracing that Bromley suburbanness that for a long time, I mean, in the book No Shame, I do sort of moan about. And then as soon as I'd written it down, I was like, oh, well, I quite like it now. It sort of exorcised a lot of that.
But I think But isn't that just so normal to sort of have a pushback against where you're from?
Absolutely, yeah. I think in one's youth, especially, and then you realise actually that's where you are. That's where your heart is. Sometimes, not always, but that's what I've found. But that's maybe that's just me. I don't know. But I've never used Bromley as an excuse. Have you ever used Portsmouth as an excuse, Susie?
Every day.
Every day.
Here's one more. Hi, Susie and Tom. I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I wanted to email to let you know what a great job you're both doing. Always appreciate that, don't we, Thomas?
We love praise.
I started listening to your podcast in 2019 before I came out to my family. As a baby gay, being able to listen to two very successful queer people, well...
Which podcast were you listening to for that? It's so nice you listen to RuPaul's podcast as well.
Yeah, isn't that Nick Grimshaw one? And still gives me so much happiness and confidence. Susie, your story about dating boys in high school particularly resonated with me as I had a similar experience before the penny dropped. In fact, the day before I broke up with my last boyfriend I will probably ever have was a strange one. I'm not religious, but in terms of a sign from God or the universe, this really did start making me question things. I was at the boys in question's house and we were playing Scrabble. He knew that I liked music from the 80s, so I had a playlist with lots of bangers on it. The first song to play was I'm Coming Out. And to top things off, one of the three-letter words was gay. So all in all, the evening proved to be fairly illuminating. Me and my best friend Millie listened to the podcast every week after I introduced her to it whilst we were at university. University was hard for Millie. Not only did most of our degrees take place in lockdown. Oh, that's tough. But sadly, Lily lost her mum during the pandemic. She told me on numerous occasions how comforting it was to hear Tom talk so openly about coming to terms with his own grief. So I wanted to say a massive thank you. The podcast is really important.
Oh, that's so nice.
We have both now graduated. Clang.
Oh.
But this means we don't get to see each other as much as we'd like to. It's coming up to Millie's birthday soon. And because she's such a legend and I love her so much, I was hoping this email would reach the two of you and you can give her a birthday shout out. Thanks for all that you do. Bye, 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 bye. And that's from Eleanor.
Oh, how lovely. What a nice message. And that's very sweet of Millie to mention about, well, I hope it's been some comfort, the grief stuff to talk openly about it. I found myself.
I think it's very important.
I was being quite maudlin yesterday when I saw you, Sue, so I feel...
I think that but we'll talk about this on air. It's not air. This isn't going out on frequency.
On the wire.
On the wireless. You're apologising far too much for being maudlin. You're allowed to just talk about how you feel. It's not
maudlin
to say,
That's true.
I feel a bit overwhelmed. Oh, you know, we're coming towards a year. Oh, none of it's maudlin. It's just okay to talk about it.
Well, yes, I suppose. Yes, I suppose. I think but
I think that you don't need to...
Yeah, I don't need to apologise.
You don't need to... You can say what you want to anyone, but never feel like you need to apologise to me. That's what I'm saying.
I did lovely Carrie Ad Lloyd's lovely podcast, Griefcast, which talks a lot about grief.
Which and Susan I highly recommend to anyone anyone. Doesn't matter if you're going through any sort of grief or not. I just think it's so human and gorgeous.
Well, it was so cathartic to talk with her because she's been through it herself and is such an open, great supportive person. It was really nice, but she mentioned about actually it's okay. She doesn't feel that sort of apology. I'm paraphrasing slightly, but she if she feels like she wants to talk about loss or grief, she just talks about it and she doesn't, you know, I think there's an instinct to sort of panic, oh God, are other people going to be oh God, are they okay? You know, you sort of start to second guess other people, but actually it's good just to go, this is how I am today. But yeah.
Yeah. And I think, don't worry about people feeling awkward because death will happen to all of us. What is it? It's like death and taxes.
Yeah.
Taxis. Death and taxis.
A lot of the time. Can't get a taxi around here.
But, you know, I sometimes feel like if people feel uncomfortable, that's sort of on them.
That's on them. That's your funeral. As
quite literally. You should say that to them and then burst into tears and run out of the room.
Yeah.
That would definitely be the thing to do.
Wailing.
Beautiful.
Lovely. But thank you for those lovely messages.
Yes, thank you. We're getting lots of them at the moment and it's really gorgeous. The email is hello@likemindedfriendspod.com. And that's it for this week, Thomas, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, absolutely. And we'll be back next week.
We will, no doubt about it.
No doubt. And I hope everyone's keeping well. And
yes, please look after yourselves, for goodness sake.
Oh, for goodness sake, be nice to people. Kind, understanding, empathetic. And good luck with your waxing.
That's the main message.
Good luck with your waxing. Do be careful.
Do be careful. Do go steady on that.
Do you put a cream on afterwards, Suze? Sorry, just before
you go. Just some light moisturiser. I'm absolutely slick with it at the moment.
I was kidding.
You wouldn't believe the speed I'm getting down the stairs.
I bet. It put you in a swimming pool. Oh my goodness.
Put me in an Olympic one.
It should be like a dolphin.
Good times.
How much is a wax, by the way?
Oh, it was about 45, 50 quid maybe for the whole shebang.
Was that nails as well?
No, nails was another 24 on top of that. Because I had to take shellac on and shellac off.
Shellac off and on.
That's it.
Oh, well.
I'm pleased you're across everything. I'll let you know about anything
else. I am across everything. Yeah, I'm across it all. Yeah. Well, great. Well, okay, everybody. Well, you have a great week. And we'll
have a good one, for goodness sake.
For goodness sake. And we'll speak to you next week.
We will. Okay, bye, love.
Bye for now, then.
Bye. Bye, 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 bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.